Now, if you have been a part of Sherwood over the last several years, you have heard me mention each of these statements multiple times, and we are going to go through them again today. Today is kind of like 3 years of gospel training packed into the next 35 minutes or so. So here's the first statement. You never outgrow the gospel, you grow into the gospel. The gospel is not just the good news that saves, it is the good news that sanctifies. The gospel is not only what we need to be saved, the gospel is what we need to live as saved people. And then the next one is a definition, so to speak. The gospel is the good news of God's design, sin's intrusion, and Christ's solution for human flourishing. Now, if you were to say, Paul, I've heard those statements so many times, is there anything new? Yes, there is. Here's the next statement. We're going to add it into the lineup. Gospel detachment leads to Christian drift. Gospel detachment leads to Christian drift. Now, I've shared on multiple occasions that I've got one message that is just repackaged in 1,000 different ways. The message is the gospel. Now, whenever I say that it's just repackaged, I don't mean that I am going to always teach from the same text on the same topic, switch out a couple of words, and it's going to be a brand new sermon. What I do mean by that is every topic that we address, it's going to find its ultimate fullness, its depth of understanding, as well as its basis of application in the gospel itself. So let's kind of test that theory for just a moment. Let's say I were to teach about forgiveness. Well, how would you teach about forgiveness without talking about the fact it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings God's forgiveness to us and enables our forgiveness for each other? How do you adequately talk about forgiveness and not talk about the gospel? Or how could you adequately discuss concepts like heaven and hell, sinners and sainthood, saved and lost, without addressing the gospel? The gospel is the dividing line as far as on which side of the equation a person is going to fall. The same is true of teaching on a life of faith, on intimacy with God, our created purpose, God's love for us, the many facets of God's glory. Like all of these pieces, they are rooted in a gospel understanding. So I've given a couple of these phrases in the past in multiple messages. I'm bringing it all together in one specific message. So think of this statement by Dave Harvey. He succinctly stated, everything in Scripture is either preparation for the gospel, presentation of the gospel, or participation in the gospel. Everything is either leading into, presenting, or living out. J.D. Greer said it like this, believing the gospel is not only the way we become Christians, it is the power that enables us to do every moment of every day, the things Jesus commands us to do. Tim Keller, he spoke of the centrality of the gospel when he said, the gospel is not just the means by which people get converted, but also the way Christians solve their problems and grow. The typical approach to the gospel is to see it as the ABCs of Christian doctrine only, the minimum truth required to be saved, the admissions test, the entry point. Then it is understood that we make progress in the Christian life through the application of other, more advanced biblical principles. But he said, it is the gospel that is not only the way we are saved, but is also and always the solution to every problem and the way to advance at every stage of the Christian life. End of quote. Now I want you to hold those ideas and let's connect it back into our message series. Each week, in our all-in series, I have talked about this spiritual riptide that is flowing under the surface of lives. That spiritual riptide, it's constantly pulling us away from complete devotion to Christ. The gospel message itself is the countermeasure to that riptide. The gospel is a part of the power as well as the plan of God that is pulling us back in the right direction. When a person is focused on the gospel, it helps align every part of our life, our marriage, our family, our finances, our focus on missions and evangelism, everything else. It realigns it back before God in His lordship and our relationship with Christ. A major obstacle to complete devotion to Christ is detaching gospel living from daily life. It's not that a Christian says, I don't believe the gospel. It's not that a Christian says, I don't think it's important. Instead, the bigger issue here is all too often after salvation, the emphasis comes upon I have to learn more and I have to do more in order to be a good Christian. And all of a sudden, the Christian life is about learning and about doing. I have to know more, I have to do more. And let's be absolutely honest. We gotta stop, we gotta be honest. Scripture does command us, study to show yourself approved unto God. That's biblical all day long. The Bible does command us to walk in the statutes of Scripture, so we are to do. There is a learning and there is a doing aspect to our growth in Christ, no question about that. But if we study Scripture without a gospel lens, it becomes an academic exercise leading to pride and a head full of knowledge. If we try to act upon Scripture without gospel understanding, it will be done in our strength with minimal success, and weariness is guaranteed on the other side. So today is number 5 in our message series. We are addressing 8 issues that fuel complacent Christianity and rob us of the abundant life in Christ. So far, we've studied worldly affection, the idol of comfort, busyness, packed schedules, and no margin, and then also compartmentalized living. Today, we're going to add to that, and we're going to study gospel detachment. Now, if you're wondering, Paul, what in the world is gospel attachment? Let me give you a very basic definition. This is not in your notes, but feel free to jot it down as well. Very simple. Gospel detachment is Christian living without gospel awareness and engagement. Gospel detachment is Christian living. It's a person who is, they're going through the motions of Christianity. They're going to church, they're reading their Bible, they're praying, they're doing all of those things. Gospel detachment is Christian living without gospel awareness and engagement. It is the default position of those who do not understand, do not see the need for, or do not know how to frame all of life through a gospel lens. So what does it look like for a person to remain attached to the gospel? Not just I got saved and the gospel is what I place my faith in, but what does it look like for a believer to wake up every single day of their life and the moment a problem comes, their first thought is, how does the gospel address that? The moment you feel a plateau or a decline in your spiritual growth, let the alarm bells go off and say, how have I drifted from the gospel in this area? The moment you begin to see financial issues, marital issues, problems that are happening within your family, what the first thought should be, where is the gospel solution? What does it look like for believers to do that every single day in every single challenge for the rest of your life until you see Jesus? That's what we get into this morning. I invite you today to go with me in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, we're going to be in verses 1 through 4, and I'm speaking on gospel detachment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. It says in verse 1, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved. There's a lot of and also and also and also going on here. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you allow the next 20 minutes to have unbelievable focus on what your Spirit is teaching through your Word? Lord, may there be such a gospel awareness that the information, it moves from that's a familiar statement to that is a statement that brings freedom in my life. Lord, may we experience your Spirit today through your word. In Jesus' name, Amen. So before we delve into all of the pieces of this text, I want to make sure everybody is at least on equal grounds coming in. So I'm going to give you all a 1.5, 2-minute gospel crash course. As I start giving this, you'll say, Paul, I think I've heard you say that, you know, before. Maybe it was a year or so ago. You would be absolutely correct. There's a really good chance that at least once a year until Jesus comes, you're going to hear it again. So I hope you enjoyed it the first time as well as the second time. But the reason is if a person understands what I'm saying and they have the ability to share these pieces with somebody else, you will be further ahead in gospel proficiency than the vast majority of believers around the world. So what is the gospel? It is the good news of Jesus Christ. That plain, that simple. When we're talking gospel, it needs to register good news, good news, good news. That it's the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, good news about what? That was a part of your original definition. It is the good news of God's design, sin's intrusion, and Christ's solution for human flourishing. That one statement encapsulates the entire redemptive plan of God. It speaks of creation. It speaks of fall. It speaks of redemption. It speaks of restoration. One statement includes that silver lining of redemption all the way through the Bible. So, how does the story, the gospel, impact me? This is coming in for every single believer. Here's what the story tells us. Humanity was created for relationship with God. Our sins separated us from that relationship. There was nothing any of us could do to make things right ourselves. But Jesus did for us what we could not do. He lived a sinless life. He died a substitutionary death on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. He bodily rose from the dead 3 days later that you and I might have life. And he offers eternal life, a reconciled relationship, to those who repent of their sin by placing faith in Jesus Christ. That's how that message, that gospel, that good news impacts every single one of us. Now, somebody might say, well, Paul, I've already placed faith in Jesus. Like, that's in my past. What do I need to know about the gospel from that point going forward? Well, here's a couple of pieces. It's the gospel that helps us understand our purpose in life, our true identity before God, the way that God actually sees us. It is the gospel that gives direction and peace and meaning. It enables us to forgive people who have hurt us deeply. It shows us how we are to love people, not in words only, but also through our actions. It is the gospel that will challenge every part of that sinful flesh and redirect us back to the restoration we find in Christ. It's the gospel that brings hope in the midst of death. It provides this area of joy whenever we are disappointed. It enables us to experience an intimate relationship with God every moment of every day until we see Jesus face to face. That's just a snapshot of what the gospel does after salvation. The gospel, it changes everything. It changes our eternal destination. It also changes our current situation. It touches every facet of our life and reorients us back towards a relationship with God. Now that's your crash course. So now let's look back in verse number 1. It says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received. Now that first phrase is also translated, let me now remind you. The Apostle Paul is not giving new information. He's actually reminding them of information that they had already received. And there is a great principle at play here. We need to constantly go back to Scripture and compare the gospel we currently believe with the gospel we previously received. Now, let me say that again. We need to constantly go back to Scripture so that we can compare the gospel we currently believe with the gospel we previously received. Every believer, every church, every generation can experience what's referred to as gospel drift. Messages get preached, ideas are given, books are read, discussions happen, words are redefined, songs are sung, and here's what happens. Along the way, we drift away from the essence of the gospel, and it's being redefined by the culture, the thoughts, the ideas that are around us. It is important we go back to the Word and just look back and say, is the gospel I currently believe, is it what I previously received as it is shown through the Word? So the word preach in this, it simply means to herald, to proclaim, or also to tell. And in verses 3 and 4, it tells us exactly what Paul preached to this group. He says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the core of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus' death, it is his burial, it is his resurrection. Those three parts are emphasized. Why do I bring it up? Because if you and I are talking about gospel and we're talking about good news and we are not constantly pointing back to the finished work of Jesus on the cross and what he did for us and how he was raised again on the third day, if our conversation about the gospel does not include that, we have a variation of the gospel but not the true gospel. The gospel we received is the fact that he died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He rose again 3 days later victoriously. That is the essence of the gospel itself. Now, Paul tells us that was the message that was of first importance. It was his primary message. In fact, if you were to go back in the same exact book, 1 Corinthians, go to chapter 2, verse 2, here's what he said. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's like, I only got this one message, but this one message, if you get it, it'll change everything. Now look at the next phrase, in which also you stand. Now he's addressing believers and he's saying, this is your foundation. This is what you're standing upon. That gospel that was preached to them and was received by them is the same gospel in which they stand. Now, when we stand in the gospel, here's a few of the things that that will do. It will challenge religious demands. The moment you hear religion come up that is apart from grace and faith and walking in obedience with Christ, the moment religion comes in, there'll be something inside of your spirit that says that's not the gospel. It will confront selfish desires. Why do we need to preach the gospel to ourselves daily? Because apart from the grace of God, we still have fleshly, selfish tendencies. But when you're sitting in the gospel, he will challenge that over and over again. It will champion God's mercy and grace. It'll call us to see God for who he is. We can't just have a flippant view of God. When you're sitting in the gospel, it will call us back to see him for exactly who he is. It'll compel us to love people selflessly. The next, it commissions us to go to the nations. If you sit in the gospel and you are not burdened for those who have never heard the name of Jesus, say, God, would you please help me understand what I'm missing? It should be the longer we sit, the more free with our resources we become, the more open with our prayers we become, the more convinced that every single person around us is either saved or lost and they need Jesus. It'll make us walk up and down the streets and we pray over houses. We go by schools and we pray over the children. We see other churches and we thank God for other gospel-believing, Bible-teaching churches. Like it will make us look out and say, people need Jesus. The gospel is what drives us back to that. It'll comfort us in our failures. When you understand the gospel, failure becomes a great learning experience. You know it doesn't define your life. You look back and you say, thank you, God, that you've taken care of those things. Help me to understand what I need moving forward. It will calm us in our fears. Let me pause. When I see Christians post more fear on social media than faith in Jesus Christ, all it tells me is the gospel's not being lived in that moment. It does not matter what you see in the world. The gospel tells us he's victorious. At the end of the day, we know he is sovereign. He is on the throne. He is going to do what he desires to do. One day we recognize, based on the gospel, that every nation, every tribe, every tongue will one day kneel before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and give honor and glory to him. We recognize that through Scripture. So when we get caught up in the moment, all that is forgetting the essence of what he's leading us towards. We walk by faith, not by sight. It'll convict us of sin and entitlement. Amen. And finally, contest the accusations of the enemy. The enemy will continue to throw insults and accusations our direction. The gospel deflects them back off. That's not who I am. Jesus is taking care of that. I am true in Christ. This is my essence now. Verse number 2, it says, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast, that means hold firmly to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Now, some people look at this and they use this as a proof text for the idea that a person can lose their salvation. That is not what this text is teaching. That is a tenet of the gospel of religion. And I'm going to come back to that in a few moments. But in this, if a person translates this to be, if you continue to hold fast to the gospel, you'll be saved. If you let go of the gospel, you'll be lost. If that's what a person is believing when they read this, here's what that's saying. If your salvation is based on your ability to hold tight the gospel, your salvation is now based on your ability. I don't want to be in a place where my eternal destination is based upon my ability. Listen closely to who is the one acting in the process of salvation. Romans 8, 29 and 30. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, what part of that was us? All the way through the process. Here it is. God foreknew, God predestined, God called, God justified, God glorifies. We are saved because God took hold of us, not because we took hold of him. Or said differently, our holding on to him is only evidence that he's the one holding on to us. If a professing believer walks away from the faith, it is a sign that they did not have true, genuine faith in Christ. That's what we find, 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. Now, all of that goes into this big truth for this morning. Holding firmly to the gospel we received helps us stand firmly in the gospel we know. Holding firmly to the gospel we received helps us stand firmly in the gospel we know. Now, to stand firmly in the gospel, it is to live with an awareness of the gospel at every point, every place in life. It is to recognize that the gospel is a matter of first importance. It is to submit any identity in our life before God, if it's not gospel identity. It is to recognize that every single part of our life comes under the lordship of Jesus Christ and is shaped and is understood and is empowered and it is defined by what happens in this gospel message. It is important for us to understand, for us to stand in the gospel, we have to be clear about the gospel that we received. Now, I said I was going to come back to this in just a moment, but there are three variations of the gospel that are very prevalent within churches today. There's the gospel of religion, there's the gospel of you, and then there's the gospel of grace. So I want to define each of these so that you will see the real from what is the imposter. The gospel of religion, it teaches that being good or doing what is right, it's going to earn God's favor, God's acceptance, and God's forgiveness. Now, if you ever wonder whether or not the gospel of religion is actually prevalent within culture today, ask 10 different Christian friends, why should God let you into heaven? You will be amazed at the number of times people will say something like this. I'm just trying my best to do what God wants me to do. I try to obey the 10 commandments. I try to pray and go to church and be a good Christian. I'm just hoping it's going to be enough. If there were ever a motto for the gospel of religion, that was pretty much it. It is the idea that our acceptance is based on our performance. Now, here's the reason why you want to reject the gospel of religion at every step along the way. It causes people to drift towards entitlement or self-loathing. Think of it like this. When people are conditioned to believe that their goodness earns God's favor, they will get mad with God when bad things happen. Something bad happens in their life, they shake their fist at God and say, God, why did you let this happen? I did my part. I followed the rules. This should never happen to me. That's entitlement. Or the opposite side of that is self-loathing. When they go through hard times, their thought moves towards, if I were a better person, this wouldn't happen to me. If I could just get my life together like the other Christians I see, I would never walk through this. I'm such a bad Christian, I can't even do the basics right. That's self-loathing. Neither one of those leads towards freedom in Christ. That's the gospel of religion. It is an imposter. It is not the true gospel. Now, the gospel of you is somewhat comical because it teaches people that God is a great addition to your life. Your life, it's all about you. You are at the center of God's universe. Every day that God moves forward, his job exists solely to make you happy and wealthy and successful. He would never do anything that would cause you to be uncomfortable because life is all about you. So because of that, any type of preaching on sin, that is completely unacceptable. Asking for commitment of any kind, that's completely unacceptable. Encouraging people to think about anybody other than themselves, that's completely unacceptable because that person has been taught it's all about you. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of grace, it teaches that we are far worse than we ever dreamed, but Jesus is far better than we ever imagined. The gospel of grace teaches us that we are not acceptable to God based upon our merit. We are made acceptable to God based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's why it's good news. It's he did something we could not do, and he offers it to us freely by grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace is God's unmerited favor, where he does in us and through us and for us what we could never do for ourselves. So listen to the way these gospels line up. The gospel of religion, it says, I hope I've done enough. The gospel of you says, I believe I am enough. The gospel of grace says, I'm in Christ, and he is enough. There is a calmness and a confidence that comes with the gospel of grace. Holding firmly to the gospel we received helps us stand firmly in the gospel we know. So as we close out, we're going to ask a question backwards. Instead of focusing for just a moment on the gospel of grace, how would you know if you've actually been holding firmly to the gospel of religion or the gospel of you? Here's a couple of indicators. You get frustrated with God because he's not giving you what you think you deserve. You're upset with God because you are twice as good as some other person and you only have a fraction of what they have. You fail to extend grace in the same way you received it from God. You're only interested in messages that immediately profit you. You're worn out by trying to live up to God's standard. You hate yourself for your failures. You want God to adjust his plan around your agenda. You live with a consumer mentality and not a contributor mentality. All of those and many others are symptoms that a person has been holding on to the gospel of religion are the gospel of you. The life that we seek, the answers that we want, the change that we desire, the freedom that we absolutely crave, the hope that we need, the love and forgiveness we cannot live without. It is all found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. To know the gospel deeply, we must know the author intimately. It all flows back to that intimate, personal, life-transforming relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, to help people stay focused on these gospel truths, I want you all to know about a resource that we are making available to people. As you leave today, you're going to notice out at our Connection Center that there is a number of different cards, and all of these cards are listed under what's referred to as Vine Resources. And the reason these are being put out is because there are certain principles of living the gospel in our marriage, in our identity in Christ, when it comes to walking in wisdom or whether or not we're walking in foolishness. There's certain things we need to be reminded of constantly. So we're creating cards. They are free. All you got to do is go out, pick it up, put it in a binder. If you don't have a binder and you need a binder, you can get one of those. It's all nice and beautifully branded with pictures of people of Sherwood. It's over in the bookstore. But you go buy that piece, but these are free. Pick them up. All along the way, we're going to continue to add additional cards and resources. But what it will help do is bring you back to gospel principles every single area of your life. What is biblical manhood? What's biblical womanhood? What's my identity in Christ? How does God define marriage? How do I interpret Scripture clearly? Like, all of those pieces and others are found out there. I encourage you, as you're leaving today, pick up copies of those. But now let's bring it a little bit further from there. What happens today if you realize, you know what, Paul, when you went through that list of people holding firmly to the gospel of religion or the gospel of you, like, I saw myself in that list. What do you do in that moment? You recognize it and say, God, I repent. God, I don't want to hold on to anything other than the true gospel that I received through your word. And by your grace, Lord, would you frame my mind around the gospel of grace? And you study it every day. You pray through it every day. You talk to other believers. Like, what's God teaching you about the gospel? You have those conversations. You continuously go back to it. Every challenge, every problem you face, let it just be alarm bells going off. How does this fit with the gospel? What does the gospel have to say? How do I reframe this from a gospel perspective? Let it keep going back to the gospel again and again. And what we'll find is there's freedom. There is liberty. There's success. There's enablement. There's grace when we continue to walk out the very message we received. And from that point going forward, we just say, God, thank you, and I'm going to continue to walk it out. It's not hard. It's not overly complicated. But here's the thing. The gospel will become that message that gets sidelined because we like things that are dazzling and things that seem brand new, because we think somehow that's the piece that's going to take us to the next level. And all we find is a lot of information, and we still miss the life change. Focus on the gospel. It will walk you through everything else. Don't focus on the gospel. You can walk through all of the other, and it'll never have the impact on your life that you desire. Do not walk in gospel detachment. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to bow for just a moment. Bow your heads, close your eyes, just a moment. There may be people right now who, as they are thinking about what the message of the gospel is, whether or not they have ever received the gospel, they might be thinking to themselves right now, like, I don't know if that describes me. If that's the case, I want to encourage you today to let today be the day that you step into this new relationship with God. If there's a part of what I'm describing that is appealing, that there's something inside of you saying, that's what I need, in a few moments, we're going to have an invitation time. There's going to be pastors and pastors' wives along the front. There's going to be counselors on each of the different sides. Just talk to one of them and say, I need to know more about the gospel. And they are more than happy to walk you through that. It might be that today's a day of just prayer for you. You're just needing to say, Lord, thank you for the reminder. May my focus in my life be constantly directed back towards the gospel. Whatever that might be, I encourage you, allow the Spirit of God to direct as He sees fit. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, today for all of the different pieces. We thank you for the fact that the gospel is not just the good news that saves, it's the good news that sanctifies. We never outgrow the gospel, we grow into it. So, Lord, we ask today that our minds, our focus, the direction of our life would keep moving back again and again and again to the simple good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.